This podcast is from the IDPF Digital Book 2012 Conference at Book Expo America.
So I just want to introduce our next speaker, Joshua Talent, the founder and CEO of eBook Architects. Joshua is going to give us an eBook production jumpstart, talking about eBook production workflows and some practical insights into producing Kindle files from EPUB. Joshua.
Thank you very much. You guys hear me in the back? Very good. Okay, so one of the things that I noticed at the beginning of the IDPF conference is there's a lot of talk about EPUB, which makes a lot of sense since IDPF is the EPUB people, and I am an expert in both EPUB and Kindle, so I thought, you know, Liz Castro already told you guys how to build EPUB files. Keo told you how to use InDesign. I'm going to teach you quite a bit about Kindle Format 8. Before I get into that, though, I want to go through just a little bit of the kinds of things that you need to know about workflows. How many of you guys are actually building ebook files yourselves? You work for a publisher, for a conversion house or something. How many of you are here mostly because of strategic reasons, trying to figure out how to tell other people what to do? Okay. That sounds about right. That's about half and half. So, first of all, when we're going through some code in a little bit, you might want to go and grab the files off of my website, ebookarchitects.com/resources. At the top of the page, you're going to see a couple of downloads, the top three downloads. The one that you want to get is called the Book of Texas. It's a Kindle Format 8 source file and a compiled Mobi Pocket file with KF8 and Mobi backwards compatibility, which we'll be talking about, and I'll be showing you code pieces from that. You're welcome to go grab those files. They're open source, and you're welcome to pull them in and play around them if you like. So let's talk about some workflows. Standard InDesign EPUB workflows are pretty straightforward. I think a lot of us have used these before. You start off with an InDesign file, and you have that InDesign file. You bang on the HTML a little bit, maybe do a little bit of blood, sweat, and tears, and you end up in the end with an EPUB file. Now, if you're not in the HTML world, you're not dealing with the HTML yourself, that HTML hammering would probably be InDesign hammering, and you're sitting there with, you know, doing all the things Keo was talking about, trying to get InDesign to actually export something decent, which can be a little difficult if you have a very complex project. If you're working with a novel or you're working with a very simple nonfiction title, it usually isn't that difficult, but it can be more difficult, especially for complex content. So that's a standard InDesign EPUB workflow. A standard Kindle workflow that a lot of people use is they take their EPUB file, run it through KindleGen, and out pops a Mobi. Now, the alternative to this is, instead of running it through KindleGen yourself, how many of you guys upload EPUB files to Amazon? Anybody? A couple people? It's a pretty typical thing that you see a lot of publishers doing, is just taking the EPUB file and either running it through KindleGen, maybe testing the output in Kindle Preview or on a Kindle device, or just sending the EPUB file directly to Amazon. I don't recommend that second option. And actually, I don't recommend the first option either for most titles. And I'll tell you why here in a little bit. If you must convert an EPUB file, if you must run your EPUB file through KindleGen and you say, I'm not going to go in and mess with the code, I don't have time, all I can do is just run the EPUB file through KindleGen, then get used to disappointment. So here's the best Kindle in-house workflow. If you're developing your files in-house, you can take your EPUB, pull the content out into its own folder, right? You're now no longer working with an EPUB file. You now have source code. We're assuming at this point your EPUB is finished. You already know what you've got. You're looking at the content in all the different EPUB devices. You've tested it. Looks good. Now your goal is to create that Kindle file. Get the source code out. Bang on the HTML quite a bit. Take your OPF file and run it through KindleGen, which will automatically generate the final Mobi Pocket file. Right, so this process actually gives you more control, which is what you need in the Kindle system. Amazon sells the majority of ebooks. We have to deal with the reality that we have to make sure our books look good on those devices. And unfortunately, just because of the way the device systems work and because of the fact that everybody is using different things, different platforms. Even in the Kindle system, you have to be careful about the output and how it looks. Some Kindle devices don't support KF8, so you have to think about backwards compatibility to the older Mobi Pocket 7 format. And we'll talk about how to do that with media queries and some other cool things in a little bit. The goal here is to create a file that actually looks good on the Kindle system and will not get you rejected from Amazon when you get people, you know, customers coming back and saying, hey, it's broken, everything is out of place. Now, how many of you guys bought Harry Potter books when they first came out? How many of you bought the Harry Potter books on the Kindle and saw the drop cap issue that came up? Anybody? So on the Kindle, one of the things that came up as a complaint when the Harry Potter books first became available is that the drop cap didn't work properly. It was the drop cap was actually a large character that was just on its own paragraph above the first line of paragraph of the content. The reason for that was because when they were doing the export, they were exporting from EPUB. They were running the EPUB file through KindleGen, and there was a style in the style sheet that they didn't know they had to change. I think they fixed it by now, and I'll show you in a little bit what that style was. But that's the kind of stuff you'll run into if you just kind of run your books through an automated process going EPUB to Kindle. There are going to be some differences. There are some things you have to think about a little bit more deeply and deal with in the code, especially if you have complex content you want to get into Kindle and have display properly across all the Kindle devices, including the older devices that use Mobi Pocket 7. So, how about outsourcing? How many of you guys use an outsourcing company to do your ebook development? And how many of you do your own testing in-house once the file comes back? Good. Very good. It's good to see the same number of hands raised both times. So, common outsourcing workflows run usually like this. You take your InDesign or a PDF file. You send it off to your conversion company. Your company sends back to you an EPUB file. And now you have this EPUB file in-house. Hopefully at that point, your goal is to open it up in how many devices? Every device, right? Put it on every device, test it out, send back the revisions list to your outsourcing company, or use your in-house staff to make the changes you want, finalize the document, send it out. So that outsourcing workflow can work as long as the last step is not left out. And that's the key. You can't leave everything to your outsourcing vendor most of the time. You want to make sure that it looks the way you want it to look. You want to make sure that all of your editorial elements have been kept and make sure that you're testing the device on all the testing the ebook on all the different devices to ensure that it actually comes out the right way. Now, it wouldn't be a presentation about outsourcing if I didn't tell you what our outsourcing workflow works like. So, the process that we use is very similar, but there are a couple of extra steps that you might consider implementing into your own workflow if you're doing an outsource or if you're doing it in-house. Take your InDesign or Adobe file, send it your PDF file, send it out to me. We'll do the blood, sweat, and tears, and we create native EPUB and Kindle for every book. We're not going to go take an EPUB file and convert it into the Kindle format. We actually use native code and build both independently of each other, ensuring that what you get on both devices is actually, on both systems is what you're going to get. And we send all of our books through the QED process. How many of you guys have heard of QED? QED is a quality, excellence, and design standard that's set by Digital Book World, maintained by F&W Media. QED is a 13-point testing of the ebook file that ensures that it works on every major device in the market. They test it independently, so it's not something that is, they have a certification, but it's not really a good certification, you know. And so it's a good independent testing. If you want your files to be certified as being good quality and you know that they're going to work everywhere and not have issues, I highly suggest that you look at the QED standard as an option for that. So we put all of our books through that and we send the files back out. So these kinds of workflows work really great, and outsourcing is something that a lot of companies have to do, especially small and mid-sized publishers, but even the larger publishers outsource a lot of their content. So what are the signs of a good ebook to conversion? What are the signs that you actually got back a file that you should be able to sell? Well, first of all of your EPUB files have to pass EPUB check, and EPUB preflight is also a good idea as well. So make sure you run it yourself in-house through EPUB check before you do anything else. Kindle file really should not just be a conversion from the EPUB. If you're looking through the Kindle document and you notice that there are little, you'll get used to it. You'll see little things where, you know, drop caps aren't done properly or something's off and it looks kind of weird and you're like, what happened with this? Is it just an EPUB pass through Kindle Gen? Clean, human readable, semantic HTML code is, in my opinion, not an option to leave out. If you want future proof ebook files, if you want to be able to take your EPUB 2 document and later convert it into a really nice, highly valid and semantic EPUB 3 file, I highly suggest that you be very cautious about the implementation of semantic code in your document. That means if it's a heading, it should be marked as a heading. If it's a paragraph, it should be marked as a paragraph. And if it's a block quote, it should be in block quote tags. Those kinds of things are actually very important for the future compatibility of your ebook files with accessibility systems and with EPUB 3, which is highly based on accessibility. In addition to that, there's going to be a lot of other stuff you'll want to add in EPUB 3 that adds to that semantic markup. But at least start off the right way and build good, highly semantic files first time out. I also highly suggest that you look at your files and see if there's a limited number of styles and that those styles are used properly. I once opened up a file that was created by a company that I won't name and it had 3,000 styles in the style sheet. Each paragraph had its own unique identifier, its own ID, and every single paragraph had its own style. That's bloat. There's no reason for that in an ebook file. It creates more bloat for the system to have to load. Every time the system loads a new chapter, it has to load that entire CSS document into there, into memory, which on older devices, this was a major problem. Newer devices, probably not as much, but it's still a bunch of bloat, and it's not good. When you're talking about semantic markup, when you're talking about good quality code, it's not a good option. Correctly formatted and positioned images is usually a big issue in ebook files. Be cautious about where they're placed. If you want them to be floating, make sure that when they're floating, they're set at a width that's going to work properly on different device screens. You may want to use, instead of pixel dimensions on your widths, use percentages so that it works properly. Or use media queries and make it even better so that at smaller devices you have a full screen image instead of having a floating image that's, you know, half an inch wide. NCX and OPF metadata and items in the NCX are correct. If you have page numbers in your book, have a page list. Page list is now supported in iBooks. It's been supported in the Kindle system for a while. It is highly suggestible that if you have page numbers in a print book and you're converting that print book into an ebook, that you use those page numbers in the NCX file. It's very helpful for being able to navigate the book and keep people who are in print and in ebook in sync with each other. Tables should be formatted properly. Make sure that you test them on all the devices. I will tell you that if you have a table that's wider than about 3 or 4 columns, you probably won't work that well in the Nook. It's one of the biggest problems with some of the devices is how they implement tables and how tables actually end up showing up. Tables that are more than 3 or 4 columns a lot of times will be broken off the edge of the screen on the Nook system, which means you won't be able to read anything on the 5th or 6th column. It depends a lot on how much text is in the table. If you're using text in your book, in your print book, for presentation, not for data, then I'd suggest you would take that table and turn it into lists instead, or paragraphs. Instead of trying to keep the tabular layout for presentation purposes, use another way of getting that point across to your reader. Because it's unfortunately, like Kia was talking about before, when you take an 8.5 by 11 page of a book with a big table on it that has four different cells, and you try to squeeze it down, it's just not going to work. It's better to put it into paragraph formats or lists so that your reader can actually get the impact and the information transmitted to them properly. And don't turn it into an image. If you're going to do a table like that, don't turn it into an image. That's just going to cause lots of problems for readers on smaller devices especially. But even on an iPad, an image that was 8.5 by 11 on a sheet of paper on a book squeezed down into the iPad viewing area is still pretty small. It's better to go ahead and turn it into text. If you have a subject index, how many of you guys do nonfiction titles with subject indexes in them? How many of you actually link the page numbers in the subject index back into the book? Okay. There's a major publisher that at the top of each of their subject indexes puts a paragraph in their ebook that says, "This is a list of search terms. Please use the search engine in your ebook device to find these items." That's not a subject index. A subject index is intentionally more than just search terms. And I highly suggest that you link those items back into the book. Now, there's some work being done in the IDPF working group for EPUB 3 on indexing and making this functionality even more powerful than it currently is, which is pretty much not very powerful. If you're in the indexing world, I highly suggest you join that working group and help them come up with a good standard and develop the standard for EPUB 3. In EPUB 2, the easiest option is just to link to your page numbers. If you've already got your page list, you've already got all the page numbers marked, just link each page number that's in the index to the place in the book where that print page number started. At least it gets your reader to the right area. They may have to page forward a page or two on the device because it's not exactly the same page structure, but they're in the right area, and it gets them, essentially, yes. And so at least they're in the area. So, but if you want to go more specific than that, you could actually use tools that have been developed by certain indexers to put items on each of IDs on each of the paragraphs and list items and block quotes within the content, and then use your indexer to make those indexes go directly to a paragraph level. You could even go more specific than that if you want to and actually point it to the exact position. The problem is that InDesign, and I hope Keo hears this, InDesign currently does not export the linking data that's built into InDesign itself. If you have an indexer works in your InDesign file and points the index itself directly to the location in the book, that's not currently being exported in the InDesign export to EPUB. If it were, then this would be a moot issue because you'd be pointing to the exact location where the indexer said this item is here on the page. Hopefully in the future we'll see that export happen, and I'm sure that there are other tools. I mean, there are some tools. Jan Wright of Wright Indexing has worked out a really cool system for that, and some other people are also working on similar systems to at least make it easier to be more fine-grained in your control of your subject index. Again, QED standard is a good place to start in your signs of a good ebook conversion. Make sure that you're testing your files yourself, and if you can, do independent certification or independent testing as well to make sure that your book is going to be good quality for the end user. In the end, regardless of how you do your ebook development, if you're using a conversion vendor, have a good relationship with them, talk to them. Your conversion vendor is going to be able to help you with the questions and issues that you have. And in ebook conversions, ebook development, you do get what you pay for. So I have three slides about EPUB 3. The rest of this is going to be about Kindle. EPUB 3 has a lot of really cool features, and it has a lot of really cool things that it will be able to do. But one of the things that Keo pointed out, and one of the things that I've heard from other people who have spoken about EPUB 3 so far there in the conference, this is something that is not in stone yet. And you should realize that EPUB 3, while the specification is written, EPUB 3 is not in stone yet because it's not implemented on all the devices yet. EPUB 3 is in stone as a spec, but the implementation is really what you need to know. I'm a very practical kind of person. I'd rather see what actually works than have to worry too much about where the specification goes, because the specification is nice, but the specification is not real life. So in real life, here's what you might want to be able to expect in implementations. You know, be aware that a lot of the features in EPUB 3 are either not required on every device because of device limitations, or not required because of limitations that are known within the ebook world. So this is not a slight to EPUB 3 at all. What this is a pragmatic reality of trying to understand where EPUB 3 is going to be in the next year. Right now, we just got implementation of EPUB 3 in iBooks, and their implementation is actually fairly good. They've done a lot of really cool features. The footnotes pop-up is a great feature that isn't even technically part of the EPUB 3 spec, although the markup is, and again, that's good semantic markup in the first place. The thing is that not every ebook reading device is going to be iBooks. When the Nook comes out with support, unfortunately, if there's any Barnes & Noble people in the audience, I'm sorry for this, it's probably not going to support EPUB 3 to the level that iBooks does, just because of limitations on e-ink screens and limitations on in the Nook platform, more than likely. The same thing goes for Kobo and Sony and other device manufacturers. EPUB 3 support is going to be spotty at first until we have time to ramp up and get the devices up to speed and get the technologies up to speed to meet the specification. So video and audio support, it's not going to work on e-ink screens. Audio might, video's not. It's just not really possible. next generation devices, if they're using Mirasol or they're using Pixel Qi or another device screen manufacturing system, then yeah, that's a good possibility. But give it a couple of years more than likely before we see broad support for video and audio. JavaScript support, there are lots of questions, even in the IDPF, in the discussions of JavaScript, how to implement it in a safe way. And a lot of device manufacturers are choosing not to implement JavaScript because of security concerns, or to only implement it in certain ways. And I fully expect, and I kind of hope, actually, that we see JavaScript implementations that use libraries and say, hey, you want to do some special thing, here's a list of the things that we support, and here's how to implement them. It makes your life as a coder, your life as a programmer, your life as a production person at a publishing company a lot easier, because you don't have to write your own JavaScript code. You just call the implementations that are already being used. Hopefully that's actually what will happen, because it actually would be easier for everyone. MathML support, as Liz Castro pointed out, is not complete. It is really good, though. And so at least we have good implementation of that in EPUB 3 and probably will across most devices. CSS3 media queries, not sure where that's going to go. And styling with EPUB-specific prefixes, again, not sure where that's going to go. A lot of these things are just big question marks right now. We'll see implementation, and we'll test implementation, and then we'll start using implementation. But it's really about what are the devices going to support. So be cautious in your implementation of EPUB 3. Don't jump on the bandwagon and start implementing every single book and putting every single book you do in EPUB 3 without knowing what it's going to look like on the end products. And make sure that when a new device supports EPUB 3, you take those cool EPUB 3 files you've created, and you test them on those devices specifically to ensure that they're supported properly. So, Kindle Format 8. So, first of all, KF8 is not EPUB. Let me repeat that. KF8 is not EPUB. It is similar to EPUB in many ways, but it is not part of the EPUB spec. It is its own specification. And I do say specification because it is a specification. It's not open source. It's not the same as EPUB in those ways. But there is a specification and there is documentation. And you can build a Kindle Format 8 file using that documentation that Amazon provides to you. So some features of KF8 and some things that I think make KF8 a little different, and especially than Mobi Pocket, the way the Mobi Pocket used to be, is it has all of the same features as Mobi Pocket, including image downsampling, which is one of those features of the Mobi Pocket building system, Kindle Format building system. Dictionary and index markup is not technically part of KF8, but it is still supported on the Kindle device, which is a really interesting implementation of indexing and dictionary markup. And it is still packaged in a PRC container. So you'll notice when you build a KF8 file with the newest version of Kindle Gen that it says during the build process, building PRC. Because it is still building in the same packager as the Mobi Pocket system was before. There is some support for HTML5 and CSS3. Some of it's a little lacking, and you'll notice that there are some styles that don't apply properly to certain HTML5 tags, like aside and article and things like that. Play around with it a little bit, and you might be able to use HTML5, but I will note as well, HTML5 is not required for KF8. While you can use it, if you want to use XHTML1, like you have in your EPUBs, it's perfectly valid to do so. There's no specific version of HTML that is required in the KF8 standard. There are fixed layout capabilities, including comic books with panel view. If you've never seen one of those comic books with panel view, I highly suggest you take a look at them. It's very cool, very interesting implementation, and very pertinent to the market that we're currently seeing on tablet devices like the Kindle Fire. And there is dual old and new format packaging for backwards compatibility. So if you're worried about making sure your book looks good on the Mobi Pocket supporting devices like the Kindle 3 or the Kindle 4, then you will want to make sure that you use those backwards compatibility features. So the question I get a lot of times is, can't I just convert an EPUB file into the KF8 format? And the answer is no. Here are the reasons why you actually need a Kindle book. First of all, there are differences between Kindle and EPUB formats. There are some differences in how the different files are going to be packaged and used. There are differences in how Kindle files display on various Kindle devices, and you'll want to take that into consideration. Backwards compatibility issues that are easier to develop in Kindle source code. instead of trying to develop a single EPUB that you can run through your Kindle Gen tool to get out a really good Kindle Format 8 and also backwards compatible Mobi Pocket file, instead of doing all of that work in your production EPUB file, it's better to create a separate version of your book, a separate file for your book specifically for the Kindle. And there is also the complexity of creating a single EPUB file for all devices. You just want to be careful about that. So let's talk about an example. This is Casablanca, which is a book we did for Warner Brothers. They released these books not too long ago, Inside the Script series, which is really cool if you're interested in old movies. The left side is a screenshot from Adobe Digital Editions, which has really cool font embedding and nice drop cap. A little bit of image at the top there. This is kind of a pretty nice little layout. On the right, you see KF8 in the Kindle Fire. Now notice that you still have fonts, you still have the drop cap. Everything looks pretty much the same. The reason for this is that KF8 actually supports embedded fonts. It actually supports drop caps and floating content. It does have support for all of the same kinds of things that you're seeing in standard EPUB files in a lot of ways. On the left is a Kindle file that was created specifically for the Kindle, and on the right is that same EPUB, it's an early edition of the book, converted using Kindle Gen, and you'll notice the drop cap issue. Now, this is the same issue that Harry Potter books had at the beginning, and that drop cap is sitting on its own paragraph. The reason for this is in the code, the Kindle system doesn't understand a height with anything other than auto. So if you're seeing this issue in your books, go into your CSS, change that height to auto, or take it out altogether, and you won't have this problem in your books anymore. That's the one thing that will cause that drop cap to stand up on its own line if you run an EPUB file through the conversion tool, the Kindle Gen conversion tool. It'll also do the same thing if you're building from source files that you pulled out of your EPUB. Here's another page. Again, on the left is ADE. On the right is the Kindle Format 8 on the Kindle Fire. On the left is a built Kindle file specifically for the Kindle. And on the right is the EPUB file converted through Kindle Gen. Notice that there are just some issues with the centering of that content. Now, here's the bigger issue. There are some bugs in the Mobi Pocket system. And one of those bugs is that if you ever have a left margin and a top margin on the same element, the top margin will be ignored by Mobi Pocket. This is not existent in KF8. It's only a problem in Mobi Pocket 7. But if you're using left margins on things like narration inside the script here, notice on the right side in our EPUB file that was converted directly through Kindle Gen, that the left margin on those elements stayed, but the top margin disappeared altogether. And that's because it's just not supported in Mobi Pocket. So when you're trying to do these kinds of files, these auto conversions, make sure that your styling is built in a way that allows you to keep the top margins. You may have to put a div tag around your content or whatever to apply the style separately than your left margin. These are all things you'd have to take into consideration if you're doing automated conversions or you're running EPUB files through Kindle Gen. So, also need to talk about default styling. Every device on the market has a default style that it applies to the content that you're giving it. So if you were to rip out your style sheet and apply just the HTML, have no style sheet whatsoever, and load that ebook file onto every single device in the market, you're going to see some differences in how they handle things like margins, indents, justification, those kinds of basic features and items that you have inside your ebook content. Easiest way to fix these kinds of issues and get down to a standardized style system is to use what's called a CSS reset. There are lots of them out there. You can go get them that pretty easy to find on the market. And basically a reset, you put it at the top of your CSS document, and it does away with all the margins, it does away with all the coding and specific stuff, and you may want to tweak it yourself to be adjusted to your needs. But it what it does is it makes sure that every single file has the same layout for every single tag. So a couple of key differences here between Mobi Pocket on the left and Kindle Format 8 on the right. Mobi Pocket uses a Mobi Pocket viewing system to display the content of the book, while KF8 uses WebKit. So one of the key differences here is that on headings, you have in Mobi Pocket no margin by default above or below your headings, while in WebKit, the default display includes margins above and below. So you'll want to be careful about ensuring that you have margins specified in your style sheet so that you're not allowing Mobi Pocket to have no margins or just relying too much on the Kindle Format 8 having margins. Be specific. You'll also notice that Heading 5 and Heading 6 in the Kindle format and Mobi Pocket format are the same size. That's just a bug, a feature, I guess, in the Mobi Pocket system from back in the day. So if you're using heading size 6, notice that it will be smaller on every other system except Mobi Pocket. Default paragraphs in Mobi Pocket. Now, this is with no styling whatsoever in your book. The Kindle system will automatically indent the first line of your book, of your paragraph, and also fully justify the paragraph content. It's a feature of the Kindle devices, it's a feature of the Kindle system, and it's by default done to a book regardless of whether you've done it or not. If you've overridden it in your CSS, then you can't override it that way. But know that if you don't override it, it'll be there. In KF8, the indentation is gone. There are now margins above and below every paragraph, but the justification is still there. So slight differences, but it makes a big difference if you're not applying your own styles. So be very specific in your styling. Make sure that you're applying the styles that you want. How many of you guys have ever used media queries? Now, I'm assuming those of you who have used media queries have used it in iBooks. Media queries are a really interesting and very powerful way of ensuring that content looks good on different devices or in different orientations, and you can do some really cool things with them. This is really a great feature that you can use in iBooks currently. You will be able to use it in EPUB 3 more than likely across a broad range of the devices, I hope. It is easier, just as a caveat, it is easier to make different versions of your ebooks for different retailers than to try to do media queries on a single file. Single source ebook development, single source EPUB development does not always work, especially with complex content. Unfortunately, the realities of the ebook world don't allow us to do that across the board. There are going to be some things that you just need to do for the Nook platform that you don't necessarily want to have to do in your EPUB file for Apple. So create a different file and go with a different file for the Nook instead. Same thing for Kobo, same thing for Google. There are little things here and there that you'll probably want to do. Now, that's not to say that generic files don't work. It just means that in some cases you may have to water down some of your coding or water down some of your design if you're looking for a highly complex design to come through on different devices. And you may not be able to take advantage of some of the features of certain devices that you would otherwise be able to take advantage of if you were creating different books. So if you use media queries, test your files extensively. You will notice that in the current implementation, media queries really don't work on a lot of different devices. And in some devices, they'll actually break other stuff. So be careful when you're using them to test that file on every device that you know that it's going to be put on before you put it out into the marketplace. So media queries are useful for applying styles that work in some devices or settings but not in others. It is, again, most powerful in iBooks and in KF8. Standard values are all and screen, which are pretty much interpreted by all the devices as all or screen. And you can also target devices based on screen dimensions using width and height, or min width, min height, max width, max height. This works fairly well in iBooks if you're wanting to do the different design for the iPad versus the iPhone in iBooks. More general, you can use orientation, and this is actually a really cool feature in using orientation in iBooks. You can actually specify that your tables in the two-column landscape mode that iBooks goes into, you can turn your tables into text so that in the regular portrait mode, you have a table, but in maybe if you want that content to be more readable in that two-column mode that's smaller, got smaller columns, you can actually do that with orientation. The Adobe ARM SDK and ADE do not have support for media queries, except all, which is kind of useless, actually. And it breaks when the app media query is in the CSS and it has orientation or other items. So you will probably have issues trying to use a single CSS file if you're trying to do a single CSS file. I would recommend using links instead of using app media. So here's app media inline. This is inline media queries. Notice that the Nook will ignore CSS that comes after the media query. So if you have a media query inline in your CSS document, you just have one CSS document with your media query inline, put all of your important CSS at the top and do the media query at the bottom to override items. Otherwise, the Nook will ignore everything below that point. So here you have the app media and all and orientation portrait. You could also just say orientation portrait. Linked media queries. This allows for different CSS files, which is probably the better way to do it because of the Adobe issues. For example, if you want to have a general style sheet that's used by everything, and then specifically portrait and landscape, you could apply your media queries this way. Again, you could take out the all and just use orientation portrait and orientation landscape. The goal of this being to create different versions of your, different viewing capabilities of your book on different devices. KF8, the media queries are a little more specific. There are KF8 and MOBI-specific media references. So instead of doing orientation equals, you would do Amazon-MOBI and Amazon-KF8. And it looks like I have about 7 minutes left. I'm going to jump forward. You'll get all of this in the final PDF that you get of this presentation. Basic process, you rip open your EPUB file, you pull out the OEBPS folder and related files. You're converting your EPUB into KF8. You remove your cover HTML. The Kindle system does not use the cover HTML. It only uses the cover that's mentioned in the OPF file, that's listed in the OPF file. If you run your EPUB file through it automatically, the newest Kindle Gen will just remove that cover for you as it converts. It is optional to change anchors to name instead of ID. Sometimes it works better to have name instead of ID in the Mobi Pocket implementation. So if you're doing backwards compatibility, you'll probably want to change that, change your IDs to names. Something really important, you do have to flatten any transparent PNG files or GIF files that you have in your document. Transparency is not supported in the Kindle system, not even in KF8. So if you have transparent images, you need to flatten them before you put them through the system. Otherwise, they'll just look like black boxes on the screen. Poetry, lists, and other KF8 backwards compatibility issues, you want to make sure that you're dealing with that properly. And I want to jump really quick into some code to show you how to handle poetry and lists. Can everybody in the back see that? Good enough? All right. So essentially, the main difference between the Kindle system, the KF8 system, and the Mobi Pocket system is, how many of you guys have read my book? Yeah, I should ask that first. A couple people? Okay. I wrote a book a long time ago. It's really out of date now, but some of the issues that are brought up in it are actually very pertinent to this. Mobi Pocket does not support list items besides digits and bullets. So if you want to have an outline, say you're doing some sort of reference book or a textbook of some kind, and you have a Roman numeral ABC123 kind of outline, you can't do that with standard CSS in Mobi Pocket like you can in KF8. So in order to get it to work properly, there are a couple of hacks you can do. The first and the easiest and probably the one that a lot of people are going to do is just make them paragraphs, right? You have a paragraph. At the beginning of the paragraph, you'll have some non-breaking spaces, and then you'll have I, period, couple of spaces. There you go. Now you've got a list. It's not really semantically a list. It doesn't really have the markup of a list. And one of the problems you run into is how that actually ends up looking when you do the layout. In the Mobi Pocket system, and we go forward here. So here's a Mobi Pocket file. Doop-de-doo. Go into our list. taking a little time to get there. Okay. So in Mobi Pocket, one of the things you'll notice is that the top line, the hanging line, doesn't always line up exactly. This is the problem that you run into when you're using just hanging indents to try to apply styles. And if you change the font size on this, it even looks worse, right? Because it's just, there's no way to get them to line up properly. The cool thing is that if you use the system that I have in my little sample there, in KF8, while we're using paragraphs, technically, right? Each of these is a paragraph. We have a div nested around each item, just like an OL would be. And in KF8, the CSS actually applies, and you have the direct lineup, and it looks exactly like a list would look. And actually, if in the CSS, we're actually applying these ordinal numbers directly with the CSS. They're not being displayed from the HTML code. So there's some cool ways to make it look really nice in KF8 and still degrade gracefully into Mobi Pocket. You have to do a little extra work, but it's worth it if you're wanting to make sure that your complex book looks good across the board. The same kind of issues you run into with poetry. Again, poetry, you want the hanging line to end up being dropping down and being indented so that it's very clear to the reader at a larger font size or a smaller screen size that this is the continuation of the line. This can be a problem. In Mobi Pocket in the old days, this was a big problem. Thankfully, Amazon listened to some really good feedback, and they've implemented a really great system where you don't have to worry about doing width attributes. You can now use regular text indent with a negative value in your CSS, and you don't have to change anything except the adding in your non-breaking spaces. Again, I cover that whole Mobi Pocket thing in my book, Kindle Formatting. You can grab the files off of the website at ebookarchitects.com/resources. You can grab these source files that you're looking at right here and get a really good understanding of how to build Kindle files with that. I have about 3 minutes for questions. Oh, before questions, real quick, I want to make sure that that I mention that there is, for those of you who are really interested in this kind of stuff, come on. The eBook Ninjas podcast that a couple of my friends and I do every week. If you're following eBook production issues, I highly suggest you listen to our weekly podcast, mostly weekly podcast, except when I'm out of town. And also follow the eProduction list on Twitter and go to eProduction.org, which is a wiki where you can ask questions or put in content and information. And now I have 2 minutes for questions. Yes.
Can you tell me about the testing process you do? The number of devices you test on and what you recommend for a small publisher?
I recommend if you're testing on devices, you test in Adobe Digital Editions, on a Nook, in iBooks, and in the Kindle Fire, and on a Kindle device for Mobi Pocket. So at least those devices, that'll cover the broadest range of what you're going to be dealing with. You could also go and test on Nook Color, Nook Tablet. You could test on other applications on the iPad, like the Nook application and Kobo application. It depends a little bit on where you're selling it, obviously. If you're not going to sell it in Kobo, don't test on Kobo. It doesn't matter to you. Now, if you're selling it across the board, test on every device you can. Usually it doesn't take too long to do that testing, and a lot of times there's consistency from device to device. Yes.
Did the KF8 provide any guidance on accessibility?
No, accessibility doesn't have. There's nothing in the KF8 standard specifically for accessibility. All of the same feature set that you see on the regular Kindle devices for accessibility is still there and understood by the device. But there's nothing built into the system yet for accessibility, and I haven't heard anything from Amazon whether they will or will not implement specific features.
Thank you.
Yes. An HR tag, you mean? Horizontal rule?
Yes.
It works in both KF8 and Mobi.
Okay.
Yeah, it always has in Mobi as well, so it may be something about how you're implementing it that it may not be showing up.
And does the KF8 handle different bullet styles?
It does handle different bullet styles. It uses WebKit for display, so you can use different bullet styles. You can even use images and put those images in with the CSS, just like you would in a website or an EPUB. Yes?
Quick plug for the BISG EPUB 3 grid.
Mm-hmm.
It just published last week, and basically what we're going to do is track all the device
implementations of all the features in EPUB 3. As you point out, mostly not there yet.
Right.
But it's got to be updated frequently, so it's something where people can go and say, does this thing work on this device?
Right. So the EPUB 3 grid that's just released by BISG will have the different support listed out so you can see what's supported across the board. And I think I'm getting kicked off the stage.
I'm afraid you are. Thank you very much indeed for a fascinating, very helpful presentation.